74. To Frau E. A. Stackenschneider. Staraya Russa. July the 17th, 1880. Much esteemed Yelena Andreevna, I must call upon all your humanity and indulgence when I ask you to forgive me for having left your beautiful kind letter of June the 19th so long unanswered. But I shall beg you to consider facts. You may then perhaps find it in your power to be indulgent even to me. On June the 11th, I returned from Moscow to Staraya Russa, was frightfully tired, but sat down at once to the Karamazovs, and wrote three whole sheets at one blow. After I had sent off the MS, I applied myself to the reading of all the newspaper articles that dealt with my speech at Moscow. I had been so busy till then that I had had no time for them, and I decided to write a rejoinder to Grunovsky. It was to be not so much an answer to him as a manifesto of our faith for all Russia, for the significant and moving crisis in the life of our society, which declared itself at Moscow during the Pushkin celebrations, was deliberately misrepresented by the press and thrust of set purpose into the background. Our press, particularly that of Petersburg, was alarmed by this new development, which is indeed without parallel. Society has plainly shown that it has had enough of the everlasting jeering and spitting at Russia, and is consequently desirous of something different. But that fact had, of course, to be distorted, hushed up, laughed at, misrepresented. Nothing of the sort. It was but the general beatitude after the opulent Moscow banquets. The gentlemen had simply overeaten themselves. I had already decided at Moscow to publish my speech in the Moskovsky Vedomosti, and to bring out a number of the diary immediately afterwards in Petersburg. In that number, which, by the by, will be the only one this year, I thought of printing my speech, with a preamble, moreover, which occurred to me the very instant I had finished speaking, on the platform itself, at the moment when, together with Aksakov and the rest, even Turgenev and Anninkov rushed up to cover me with kisses, and then shook hands with me, protesting over and over again that I had done great things. God grant they're of the same opinion still. I can vividly imagine how they now criticize my speech, having recovered from their first enthusiasm, and indeed this is precisely the theme of my preamble. When the speech, with the preamble, had been sent to the printers in Petersburg, nay, when I actually had the proofs in my hands, I suddenly resolved to write yet another chapter for the diary, in the shape of my profession de foi for Grunovsky. It grew into two sheets. I put my whole soul into the article, and have sent it to the printers only this very day. Yesterday was Fedya's birthday. We had visitors, but I sat apart and finished the article. So you see that you must not take it ill that I'm answering your letter only now. I dearly love you, as you well know. I could never give my Moscow impressions in a letter, still less my present state of mind. I am filled up with work. It is real hard labour. I want to have the fourth and last part of The Brothers Karamazov ready in September at all costs, and when I return to Petersburg in the autumn, I shall be comparatively free for a while. In that clear time, I want to get myself ready for the diary, with which I propose to go on in the coming year, 1881. Are you on a summer holiday? How did the Moscow news reach you? I don't know what Gaevsky may have told you, but the affair with Katkov was not a bit like what you think. The Society of Lovers of Russian Literature, which organized the festival, seriously insulted Katkov by asking him to return the invitation card which he had originally received. Katkov had made his speech at the banquet held by the town council and at the town council's request. Turgenev had no grounds whatever for anticipating any affront from Katkov. Katkov was much more justified in dreading some sort of annoyance. For Turgenev, there had been prepared so colossal a reception by Kovalevsky and the university people that he really had nothing to fear. Turgenev insulted Katkov first. When, after Katkov's speech, such men as Ivan Aksakov went up to clink glasses with him, even his opponents did that. Katkov stretched out his hand with the glass in it to Turgenev that they too might clink, but Turgenev drew his hand away and would not. So Turgenev himself told me. You ask me to send you my speech, but I have not a single transcript of it, and the only copy is at the printer's, where the diary is now being set up. The diary will appear about August the 5th. Bestow some attention on that number, and show it also to my dear collaborator, Andrei Andreevich. I should like to hear his opinion, too. Your devoted Dostoevsky.